Welcome back to the National Defense. It's Randy Miller, and you talk about a perfect guest for us. Johnny Strong, first of all, the name. I mean, who does not want Johnny Strong on their show? Johnny, how are you?
I'm fantastic. How are you? That was a tough one to grow up with.
Yeah. Yeah. How strong are you, Johnny? Yeah.
I'll bet. I'll tell you what, after growing up with that name, you become strong.
I believe it. I believe it's like a boy named Sue. It's that kind of deal. But you,
exactly.
You've been in so many great movies, and some of our favorites for our audience, of course. We've got mainly active duty military veterans and their families. But you were Black Hawk Down, Medal of Honor recipient, Randy Sugart, which is a great role, Fast and the Furious. And now you've got this new movie it looks fantastic. It's called War Horse One. It's coming to theaters. And this has to be, is this the first movie about us getting out of Afghanistan?
I don't know if it's the first, but I wrote this like 2 years prior to that event. And
really?
And I saw, you know, if you pay attention to history at all, especially, you know, if you pay attention to, you know, the United States and the military engagements in history, you could see that coming, you know, and it's a tragic thing, you know, and I thought that would be an interesting backdrop to tell this story. I was an honor for me to play Randy Sugart in Black Hawk Down, and that's really why I made this film, was to get back to doing films that have meaning, you know. Black Hawk Down was a special film, and I wanted to get back to doing stuff like that, you know? So that's why I made this film.
Yeah, we're talking to Johnny Strong here on the National Defense, the military action film War Horse One in theaters. And the little girl that is in the trailer, oh, man, she looks great. I mean, this thing, it's a heartstring puller too, isn't it?
It's an emotional film. It really is. A meaningful film, and she is, Athena Derner is absolutely amazing in the film. It was her first acting role and her first movie ever. She was 5 years old when she performed in the film.
Wow.
And it was amazing. There were moments during filming where myself included and the crew were in tears watching her do what she did.
Oh,
and
man.
It's a special film, you know. A lot of people make sort of action movies, and they're kind of, they don't really touch on really important issues that we face as human beings. And
right.
This is not one of those. This is something, you know, important. And when you go to it, you know, I had the distinct pleasure and honor to talk to Rob O'Neill, former DevGru Navy SEAL operator,
yeah,
who might have been involved in the Bin Laden raid,
may or may not be.
Yeah, he and I had a great chat the other day, and the first thing he said was, "Man, Johnny, I am so glad I watched this movie by myself, so nobody could see me crying."
That's pretty strong. That's pretty strong, Johnny.
Yeah.
you kind of do your own thing, don't you? I so admire that. I mean, you've done a lot of stuff. I mean, songwriter, painter, martial artist, and you've had a band that has produced 7 albums. The band Operator, which by the way, man, that's the real deal. That's a real deal. One of my favorite songs, "Nothing to Lose," that you guys did.
Cool.
And this is, we're not talking Bacon Brothers here. This is a real band. This is good stuff.
Well, to be honest with you, it's not a band. That was just me making music. After I got back from Black Hawk Down.
That's just you?
Yeah, man. Yeah. I hired for 1 year, like I think it was about 8 months or something like that. I hired musicians to go on tour to play the records. But it's basically, that's just me in my home studio making records. Like I called the operator because I was in the film Black Hawk Down, and they called the Delta operators operators.
Right.
So I thought, you know what, I'm just going to call this project Operator. Because I have a strange thing as an artist. For a long time in my life, I didn't want to take credit for things. I just wanted to do them and, like, you know, quietly, like, stand in the shadows while the creations, you know, did what they wanted to do in the universe. And so a lot of people assumed it was a band.
It sounds like a band.
Yeah, it kind of does, but it isn't.
I mean, the production value of all the stuff that I've heard Operator do, and it's pretty incredible, man. I mean, congratulations on that.
Thank you. I'm glad you enjoy it.
And now I want to talk to you about your your work as a weapons maker.
Mm.
Yeah. Tell us about that.
You said something that I kind of do my own thing, and I just kind of do what, motivates me spiritually. So, like, you know, I was invited to learn how to make weapons and knives by a master smith in Canada. And I went up there and stayed at his home, and he taught me how to do it. And it's just been part of my creative expression ever since. Like, a year after I learned how to make knives, I was fortunate enough to be on the cover of Blade magazine.
I read that. That's the top of the mountain, right?
Yeah. Well, yeah. For knife makers, that's it. That's like the Everest. And for me, I think somebody asked me. They said, "Well, how hard is it to write and direct and star in your own movie and score it and all this kind of stuff?" To me, none of that is difficult. That's all easy stuff. The hard part for me in life is dealing with people. And like the sort of mundane kind of daily societal type of interaction. Like, that's the tough part for me, you know?
Yeah, that's interesting. Puts it all into perspective when you do something like that. And, you know, there are a lot of actors that have those kind of skills. I mean, Harrison Ford with his, he's carpentry skills and that kind of thing. And I would imagine that does kind of keep you grounded.
Yeah, I think, quite honestly, I don't take credit for, like, this is all coming from, the God energy, the ethereal creative field, and it just comes through me. I'm an antenna, and I think all the, in touch artists that have that special kind of ability to create magic, I think they are antennas as well. This is all coming from, if you're in touch with something, it's like a radio frequency,
Sure.
You could pick up that frequency, it'll come right through you, and there's nothing you could do about it. Like, I can't help it. Like, this is my purpose here on this planet, And I'm grateful for it. It's like, being chosen to be to be able to communicate with that realm is a very special thing. And I'm very humbled and honored to be able to have that experience here.
Can I just have one half of what you're smoking?
Oh, man, I wish I smoked.
Just kidding. Johnny, we're talking to Johnny Strong here in the National Defense and the military action film War Horse 1. And this is also your directing debut, right?
Mm, yes, correct.
How tough was that, or how easy was that?
Pretty easy. It's the same thing. It all comes from the same thing. In my conversation with some of these guys that I've been able to be fortunate enough to talk with and be friends with that were ex-DevGru guys or ex-unit guys or SEAL team guys, they kind of asked me, they go, "Man, Johnny, that's crazy. You're acting and directing and you wrote it and you scored it and all this kind of stuff." To me, I counter that to them and say, is it any different for you to, you know, use your skills to strategically plan, you know, an assault on a right. building, or kicking a door, or squeezing a trigger, or, you know, rescuing someone, or having an ELR mission, or whatever it might be. It's all the same thing. You don't compartmentalize it and say, you know, like you strategically plan this thing and you've trained and you're a shooter and all this stuff, and then you get to a door and go, oh, I can't kick that door. I don't know how to do that. You know, it all comes from the same thing. So for me, it's all preparation. You know, allowing myself to be prepared in these situations and allow that creative energy to be what it wants to be. You know, it's a pretty easy thing.
I was going
to
ask you if you had some military consultants on this movie.
Yes. A dear friend of mine, Michael Sowers, a former team member and on the SEAL teams, and former SEAL instructor, BUDS instructor, combat veteran, and just an overall great human being and a great guy. I called him up and I said, hey, man, you want to, I know this might sound weird, but do you want to be in a movie? And he's like, yeah, man, what do you have in mind? And I said, you'll be playing this SEAL team chief and of this SEAL team that in the movie and blah, blah, blah. And he said, yeah. And I said, and you can be a TAC advisor on the film and help some of the other actors with the tactics and stuff. Fortunately for me, I don't have to worry about that. Most of my time is spent training, either firearms training or 25 years of Brazilian jiu-jitsu and mixed martial arts. So for me, the training side of it, like the performing as an operator in the on screen, is kind of another easy kind of thing for me. But the thing I leaned on Michael for was the comms thing. Like, what would a DevGru operator say on the radio?
Oh, right, yeah.
Or, you know, those type of things. Like, I don't really have any experience or knowledge about that kind of stuff. But he did a great job with the other actors, helping them kind of work their weapons and tactics and things like that. So it was awesome. It was really an amazing experience.
That's pretty cool. I just had the opportunity a couple of weeks ago to interview Chris Hemsworth and his movie Extraction 2. And they used some military consultants just for the action parts of that. And he's, you know, and I'm sure it's the same with you, Johnny. You want to make sure you get it right.
Yeah. Well, you know, for me, I can be honest with you. All the stuff that those guys do as far as firearms training and, right. and martial arts and tactics and things like that, that's my Monday through Friday.
Right. Right. That's what I do on Monday.
Yeah. For me, that's what I do. And I've found a kind of a niche in my career to parlay that in front of the camera. And that's why I think a lot of my fan base is, really loves what I do, is because I do that on my daily life.
Yeah,
you know,
because it's real.
Well, yeah. And a lot of actors in Hollywood, And kudos to them for putting the effort in. But a lot of them is like, that's a 2-week training thing to just do a movie.
Right.
Me, I've spent the majority of time. I often tell people, I go, my life is spent training. And then occasionally I break up my training by making movies or music. You know,
how did you get into acting?
I was a little when I was 5 years old, I had my first job modeling clothes on a television show called Our Magazine. My parents were both in the film industry. I was born and raised in California, and that was just a thing. And it's just such a strange thing growing up. You know, like my father would eat breakfast sometimes with a guy that I thought was like Santa Claus, you know, as a child, but it turned out it was Marlon Brando. Or
what?
A good friend of mine or a good friend of mine and I were hanging out at his uncle's house in Napa Valley, and it turned out it's Francis Ford Coppola, and he and I are sitting in the kitchen, and Francis is you know, holding this little video camera, like a new, like, digital camera. And he goes, man, this is going to change filmmaking. And
wow.
And that inspired me to go, wow, I could make my own movies. Like, I've had a very strange and blessed experience in this life to be around some amazing creative people that have inspired me to kind of put my 100% effort and my best foot forward and I don't know, just a strange life.
That's incredible. We're talking to Johnny Strong here on the National Defense, the new film War Horse 1 in theaters. And it's so funny you mentioned Marlon Brando, because we just had a guy named Gianni Russo on the show. And Gianni was a part of that movie, of course, The Godfather. And he tells those same kind of Hollywood royalty stories, you know, of hanging around Frank Sinatra and Dean Martin and some of those guys. And it was just such a magical time, man. That was that must have been cool to kind of, you know, be surrounded by that.
Well, as a kid, you don't know. I didn't know him.
Yeah.
I looked at him as this really jolly guy that I was eating bagels at a deli with as a kid, you know, like I didn't know who that was. And then even Francis, like, you know, my experience with him or working with some amazing actors, in the film industry that are legendary, you know, like, even Stallone, I worked on a film with, Sly, and what a talented guy who's a writer and a super creative guy. I mean, I've had these amazing experiences. And to me, that's, I guess to somebody born in, you know, Bangladesh in the middle of nowhere or something like that, like to them, that's like a totally foreign thing. But for me, you know, the draw of the dice for me, that was my, you know, that was the straw I picked, I guess, in my gift of being alive was being born and raised in Hollywood and having parents that were in the movie business and stuff. And
that's
so,
cool.
What an interesting life. It was great, man. It was great. And, you know, those people, I think that's where I get sort of my commitment from was I've been around people that did it in a time where people really cared.
Yes. Absolutely.
Nowadays, we live in this kind of disposable content,
right?
Era where they're just kind of feeding the machine of the streaming services and stuff. And I grew up in a different time when people really cared about it. So, I'm just trying to take that torch and hold it as high as I can, as long as I can. And, until the end.
You're a fascinating man, Johnny Strong. I can't wait to see War Horse 1. It looks incredible. Thank you so much for the time.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me, and I had a great conversation, and I enjoyed spending some time with you today.
Thank you so much. We'll be right back here on the National Defense.